world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
From 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Ryan Pata, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh yeah!
Hit it! Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jalen Tyson drills another three ball.
Luka for three, got it!
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guest, three-time NBA All-Star Richard Hamilton. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Actor Blair Underwood. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM Channel 80, everybody. So much going on in our neighborhood. We got a full house of guests. Rip Hamilton's going to be first up in about 15 minutes' time as we talk with the UConn and Detroit Pistons great. The middle of the show, Albert Breer, perfect timing. There's lots popping in the NFL world with the new league year coming around the corner. And the actor Blair Underwood is going to be here in studio. They've rebooted Youngblood, the movie from back in the day, the Rob Lowe movie. He's in it, and he's going to be in our studio. And with a very handsome man from Sex and the City coming to the studio, just shows you my level of confidence that I'm happy to put in Chris Brockman's chair with him out for the next 3 days. My wife, Susie Schuster, is here. Hey. You ready to see Blair Underwood, Suze?
I'm sorry.
Put her microphone on, Jay Felly. What do you got for me over there?
I hate your words.
Oh, God. There you go. What do you got it? You got it over there?
Buttons.
You got it? There you go.
Some of the buttons over there.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never had to.
There you go. Buttons. There you go.
Hey.
Now I can hear you.
I'm sorry. I was too busy looking at pictures of Blair Underwood.
Good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Jason
you
Feller.
You had Ellie Larder here, by the way.
I know. That's
and
true.
I was very cool about it.
I guess it's all even. We're even, Steven, in our neighborhood. Good to see you over there, Jay Felly. How
hey.
Are you?
Oh, well, my anxiety's up now. But.
Okay. Yeah. What's going on? We got buttons to push. DJ Jefferson, how are you over there, sir? What's going on?
You know, just still out here trying to figure out ways to bust the budget. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's interesting news on that front with the Dallas Cowboys having moved around some cap space. And we'll talk about that with Albert Breer again in hour number two. We begin this show with a piece of breaking news from my buddy Ian Rappaport at the NFL Network, NFL Media Group. The Los Angeles Rams have made a big move. And we all know there's two schools of thought out there about the Rams having not one but two first overall draft choices, first round draft choices in this upcoming draft, is that they would use that second choice of theirs in the back end of the draft because they made the NFC Championship game sitting there 29th overall. Perhaps they'd use that on a quarterback to get ready for Matthew Stafford's departure at some point in time. Or they might use that draft capital to get some players in-house to win with Matthew Stafford before he decides to leave the National Football League behind him. We have no idea how much longer he's going to play because bottom line is last year the guy was in traction all summer. We're wondering if we could take a single snap, let alone win the MVP of the league, which is what he did. So the Rams right now have decided apparently upon the ladder. They are not going to use any draft choices in the first round or perhaps at all in the draft on a quarterback because they've got Matthew Stafford now with Puka Nacua now, and they've got Davante Adams now, and they now apparently have Trent McDuffie, the all-pro twice over cornerback of the Kansas City Chiefs, who last year did not get a contract extension, was getting set to play on his fifth-year option year coming out of the University of Washington almost five seasons ago, being one of the best in the business in the locker room, best in the business in the film room, best in the business, apparently in line for a contract extension in the neighborhood of $30 million a year, which is a pretty respectable neighborhood.
Yes.
And the Chiefs, being right around that cap, decided, I guess, to go ahead and make this trade and get the 29th overall pick. They now have two picks in this draft. They have the 9th overall pick and the 29th overall pick. The Rams are also sending a 5th-round pick and a 6th-round pick this year and a 3rd-round pick in 2027. So Les Snead is returned to his F these picks type of campaign that we all know Von Miller echoed just the other day when he was on this program, since he was the avatar, the guy who began that F all them pick strategy for Les Snead, wound up winning a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. Trent McDuffie is exactly what the Rams need, 100% what the Rams need. This is being highly aggressive. One would think the Rams are now going to sign him long-term and have him in their secondary, which certainly would have helped this past year around if he was there, but obviously now's the time when he was available and they have struck, and it is a great deal for the Los Angeles Rams. Yep. I don't know what this means for the Chiefs. I really don't. That they can go back and Brett Veach can turn some magic in the draft again, which he's want to do. He's done before. But the Chiefs might be in that area of flux with their quarterback, world quarterback, coming back from a knee injury, Travis Kelce. We're still waiting on a decision from him. The other longer-in-the-tooth guys on defense, how much do they have left? What are they going to do on offense to get maybe more firepower? But losing Trent McDuffie, they also released, we're going to release Juwan Taylor. They made that news the other day. Interestingly enough, they released him one step early, which is on brand. Mahomes is he's posted, damn.
Yeah, understandable.
Damn. This gives voice to what's up. But in Brett, you got to trust. In Andy Reid, you got to trust. In Mahomes' rehab, you got to trust. And I think the Chiefs will be back at it sooner rather than later because I always believe in them, certainly when they've got 15, hopefully as healthy as possible. But right now, 15 needs a hug. And I think most Chiefs fans have to as well, because this is a real deal professional, real deal dude, exactly what the Los Angeles Rams need and exactly what Les Snead is communicating in the locker room is, let's go right now. Good on them. Meanwhile, there's a changing of the guard in Arizona at quarterback. This happened as soon as we went off the air yesterday. Kyler Murray's been informed we're done now. We are done. And he is going to be a free agent next week. And if you are a believer in the once upon a time first overall draft choice, you can knock on his door and get him for the league minimum, because that's what he will play for this year. Everything else that he gets from a team just offsets. So I imagine he's going to have his suitors, even though, as he pointed out in his confirming farewell address to Cardinals fans, that he disappointed them Interestingly enough, I wanted nothing more than be the one to end the 77-year drought for this organization. I am sorry I failed us, is what he said. I wish this community and my brothers nothing but the best. I am no stranger to adversity. I'm prepared for whatever's next. I trust in God and my work ethic. I truly believe my best ball is in front of me, and I look forward to proving it. Godspeed. I have no idea what happened in Arizona with Kyler Murray, other than the fact that, as I say for every single person in this league and every single team in this league, I say it all the time, and I'll say it again. There is an iceberg in the National Football League. The water level is different in various cities and for various organizations. And we just see the tip. Mm-hmm. And how much of that we see is up to just how deep the iceberg is and how big the ocean is. I don't know what the hell happened there. Other than the fact that one playoff season wound up being completely blown out of the water in SoFi and the Rams march to the Super Bowl and the championship podium. And everything else was a mixture of excitement and weirdness. Excitement like that Hale Murray throw that might have been the greatest throw for him in his professional career, where he, sorry, Hoskins, I believe it was against your Bills, correct? Mm-hmm. Where DeAndre Hopkins grabs it out of the air. That playoff season was exciting. He also had some exciting plays where he would take it and run and scoot around. And there would be times when he would just miss wide open receivers and then he would be out. And the backups in this offense made it look better. Last year was a perfect example with Jacoby Brissett. His last snap was the ball going off of his face mask and then him scrambling for it and then having a foot injury that cost him the rest of the season. Even his contract that he got in 2022 and what turned out to be Cliff Kingsbury's last season as head coach there, even that, if you recall, that whole process was weird.
Yeah,
where we let off the Super Bowl week in that 2021 season, but the 2022 calendar year with him erasing all photographs of the Arizona Cardinals from his Instagram.
Socials.
Right? And was wondering what's up with that. His agent sending out a letter. Yeah, there's something wrong here. And then he gets his contract, but in there is a clause where he's got to have 4 hours of independent study on an iPad they give him. And he's not allowed to have a second screen around. Remember that one?
A little weird.
Yeah, I felt like we should all.
I was talking about it. It felt like a clause, like we give downtime on the phone so they pay attention to their homework. You know what I mean?
I think that's really hard to come back from. This is a grown man's industry, and I think that when you have to, have a clause like that with someone making as much money as he is. Yeah. How do you come back from that? Where's the trust value?
Well, they removed the clause. Like as soon as it hit the public, you know, they removed the clause from his contract.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Right?
No, I know that. It just and then they bring in a new coach, and they bring in a new offensive coordinator, and it still doesn't work. And it's like, do you, when you go into the market for Kyler Murray, have a buyer's beware label with him? And the answer is, maybe, but at $1.3 million a year, no, you just jump straight in and say, we'll be the team to turn you into the next Sam Darnold if that's what you want. We'll be the team that actually gets you an opportunity. And which teams are that? Does he even want to go to the Jets? Would the Jets want to spend, you know, $1.3 million to kick a tire on Kyler Murray? I think they might. You know, would the Minnesota Vikings bring him in and have a quarterback competition with J.J. McCarthy? You know, any team that might be in the market to try and have a quarterback mentor a kid? Atlanta with Michael Penix when he comes back, would that be a spot? Does he want to go to a spot where he is, in fact, a bridge quarterback, is a way station? I don't know what he wants to do. Does he want to play center field for the Athletics? Which, as you remember, was the way it all started, weirdly. When he went on Dan's show and our show, he refused to actually say what he was going to do and went to a Super Bowl knowing he was going to get those questions. It's just always something, like with him talking about the facilities in Arizona, but I'm wondering if I'm going to be there. Well, he won't be, or he is as talented as they come. And he costs $1.3 million and you take a flyer on him. And I think he's going to have his choice of teams. So we were wondering how many veteran quarterbacks there are going to be in the market, free agency, and because they're being cut, and one of them is already there, Kyler Murray. And another one, Daniel Jones, is kind of there because this team just transition tagged him. So much to talk about with Albert Breer, but let's take a break because Richard Hamilton's going to be joining us.
Rip.
And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Rip Hamilton is going to join us next in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Rip Hamilton, the most outstanding player of the 1999 Final Four and an NBA champion for the Detroit Pistons, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of Red Baron Pizza. We'll get to what you're doing with them in a moment. I'll be honest, I remember that 99 tournament, you know, sitting there on SportsCenter right there in central Connecticut. The state's going nuts, absolutely crazy. The Nutmeg State was going nuts, and I was rooting for you. Certainly, since I'm a Michigan guy, as you know, you taking out Ohio State and Duke back to back is truly like something I dream of, no matter the sport, you know. And you were incredible, man. You had you averaged 24 points a game. What was it like for you in that time, focusing and, you know, I guess envisioning the moment? Is that an appropriate way of looking at it?
Yeah, you know what? When I was a kid, my dad used to always make me sit in the RV and meditate and visualize the outcome of, you know, games. And back in the day, it was a hoop it up game. That's where it started, or a YBA game. We always used to say, you know, meditate, visualize the outcome of the game, how you're going to play. So when you do play, it's almost like you've been there before. So when we got to the national championship or played against Ohio State, because they had a great team with Michael Redd and Scoonie Penn. And I can remember me and Khalid Al-Amin sitting in the locker room, and we're like, man, they're talking about these guys being the best backcourt in America. They need to put some respect on our name. So let's go out there and show the world that, you know, we're the best backcourt in the country, which we came out and won that game. And then playing against Duke, right? Everybody named Mama thinking that Duke was going to win. There's so many Duke fans in this world. And I think they might have had 5 or 6 guys that go into the lottery that season. Dick Vitale, at one point in time, saying that they were the number one team when we were the number one team by the rankings during the season. So it was a lot going on, but at the end of the day, we wanted to do it for Coach Calhoun. We wanted to do it for Ray Allen and Donyell Marshall and Tate George and all the guys that came before us that never got the opportunity to win the national championship. And we wanted to do it for the state of Connecticut. So, yes, we had a lot of pressure on us, but we was ready for that moment.
And interestingly enough, you beat a Duke team in the national championship game, Elton Brand, Battier, McGetty, and the current president of basketball operations for your Detroit Pistons in Trajan Langdon. And it looks like he's putting together the whole organization, a team to potentially win a title like you did back in the early aughts. What do you think of the current state of the Pistons, Rip?
And Rich, you know it's always right. It's always right to poke the bear every now and then and kind of throw it out there to Trajan that we beat them in the national championship. You know, right. I do that every now and then, right?
Of course.
You got to do that against the guys.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Trajan's done an excellent job with the team. I thought he did an amazing job constructing it, also putting the right pieces around Cade Cunningham and hiring an amazing coach that I believe should be coach of the year in the NBA. But I think his demeanor, his approach, his willingness to actually ask the team and people around him what their thought process and when developing a team, that's big, because we live in a time and day where a lot of people might say, hey, when they get them type of leadership roles, it's my way or the highway. We're going to do what I say. And Trajan's not like that. He's always listening to the team and people around him that he's hired for their opinions. And I think that's what makes them special. And it trickles down to the players. Cade Cunningham, probably one of the best leaders that we have in this game. A guy that came in as the number one pick and understands the pressure that, hey, coming to Detroit, we're used to winning. And we have a history of great point guards. And how to manage a team where we need you to score and also distribute the ball, which he does an amazing job with that. His highs are not too high. His lows ain't too low. Kind of reminds me of Tayshaun Prince. Tayshaun Prince, you can never see, you know, how he was going to react towards certain situations because of his demeanor. But I thought that Trajan did a great job of putting this group together.
What are you doing with Red Baron Pizza? The Red Baron Ornament? What's happening here, Richard?
Oh, man, I think you would like this, Rich. I know I would like it back in the day as a college kid. But I'm partnering with Red Baron Pizza. And people can sign up at redbaron.com/professionalfan. And what it is we're paying a fan $100 an hour, not just him, but three of his friends. Each $100, and also sending them unlimited amount of pizza to watch college basketball. So it's something that I'm a part of, and I think that every person, regardless what age, will want to be a part of it, because we're so used to, I know you, Rich, and myself, we're so used to pulling up to somebody's house or to watch a game, and they're saying, hey, everybody got a pitcher and $10 for a pizza or $3 for a pizza. This is an opportunity to get paid and to eat some of the best pizza in the world.
Well, my son, who you watched run the 4x400 that day, Richard, isn't a big college basketball fan, but
he might take the pizza.
17 and the $100 an hour to watch it and eat pizza. This is the greatest deal I've ever heard of.
I'm signing up right now.
By the way, TJ, you might leave your house to come up to our house to watch all this.
Or I could just do it at my house.
That's right.
I wouldn't have to leave.
This is an offer we can't refuse. My goodness gracious. This is pretty amazing.
Yes, and you got till March 12th to sign up. Okay. That's important. Make sure to tell everybody to spam it. Spam it as much as possible, because this is a great opportunity.
I would say so. My goodness gracious. Before I let you go, because I know you've got other places to be, I need your favorite Rasheed Wallace story, Richard Hamilton. Your favorite Rasheed Wallace story, please. Ladies and gentlemen.
Rich, this is hard on this platform right now, because you know, Yeah. You know, Rashid, everything is rated R.
Okay. Right. It's like stands like, for Rashid. Right.
To be 100% honest with you, maybe I need to come on a show where we have more time.
Okay.
Where we can absolutely discuss that because it's more better. Than one story. And we got to make sure we have the proper person beeping a lot of the language out when I tell that story.
Okay.
No doubt.
Rip, I got a quick question about Rashid. I'm a huge pro wrestling fan, and right now wrestling belts are like the big thing. Rashid was the first player I saw carrying around a pro wrestling belt. Do you remember those days? And do you remember thinking, what are you up to? Because nobody was doing it at the time when Rashid started rocking the belt.
Oh, yeah, she is a pioneer of a lot of things. I mean, even when you hear guys or announcers always say the ball don't lie, that's she right there. He was the one that started that. But, yes, no, it was something cool and fun. You know, once we won the championship, he was like, hey, I'm going to buy everybody WWF World Championship belts. You know, that's something that we can wear it around. We can flaunt it. We can bring it to arenas. I think his favorite wrestler was Hacksaw Jim Duggan, one that used to come with the big
2x4.
Yeah, 2x4. So it was something that he was inspired of, and now you see guys and teams do it all the time. So big shouts out for my guy Sheed, even though he can be an asshole every now and then. It was a good idea.
That was safe for work right to the end, man. But you know how to beat the buzzer. You know how to do it. Take care of yourself, Rip. I will reach out to you, and I will take you up on that that offer to come in here. I'd love to see you.
Yes, sir.
You got it. That's Richard Hamilton, everybody, courtesy of Red Baron Pizza. Make sure you go to that website and
I'm there.
Spam it so you can get $100 an hour in pizza to watch college basketball.
I mean, I'd be watching anyway, and I might be cooking Red Baron. So
something else. Off he goes.
He was the single hardest player to deal with that I've ever dealt with in the NBA.
Rashid Wallace. Mm-hmm. What happened?
He just was really tough to interview. He didn't like to engage. I remember having to go to Pan Pacific Park.
Mm-hmm.
The Pistons were in, I think, playing a series with the Lakers the year before they defeated the Lakers in the finals.
Okay.
And they were practicing out of Pan Pacific like a rec league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And man, like there were some players that you had to like gird yourself up to go interview because he was just very combative with the media. And he was a tough one.
Well, I mean, you just heard the word that Rip used.
Yeah, I didn't use that on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and they won a championship together.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Chauncey Billups was the MVP of that NBA Finals. They beat the Shaq Kobe Lakers in five.
That was after the three-peat.
Yep. The three-peat was over, right? And
was when we said that this is the end of the era.
Right. And it was.
It was.
And then they, you know, did it again. But he averaged 21.4 points in the finals, Rip Hamilton. And there were three coaches on the team, not named Larry Brown. Chauncey Billups. Mm-hmm.
Point
Hubert there. Davis and Darvin Ham.
Oh, right.
We're all on those Pistons. And they eventually would coach in the NBA. So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's take a call before we take a break here. Rasan in Arizona, where Kyler Murray is no longer going to be the QB1. Take it away. Rasan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up,
Rich?
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm making some breakfast. Hey, so Kyler Murray being released, and I'm glad Chris Brockman's not there for me to agree with him, but he's right about these teams needing to kind of chill out with these extensions because Kyler Murray, Tua, I'm thinking about, you know, even Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott, like the return on investment is not worth it. And I'm just thinking, like, the only thing I could think of is, like, you have to blame the Browns for that with that Deshaun Watson contract because he's just – seeing these teams shoot themselves in the foot, signing these quarterbacks that can't take them to the Super Bowl or through a couple games in the playoffs it sucks to watch, you know? I'm not an Arizona Cardinals fan, but, like, it just sucks to see these teams shoot themselves in the foot, signing these quarterbacks that just don't give them a return on investment. It's not the quarterback's fault either. It's just That's just my take right now.
I'm glad Brockman's not here to look at me and basically going, you know, that he wants to be your new BFF. to be honest with you, thanks for the call, Rahsaan. It's a perfect conversation to have right now, yeah. Which we will in Brockman's absence, because Chris is always saying that teams should look at somebody like Kyler Murray and say, despite us choosing you first overall, right? Despite not only choosing you first overall, but we're bouncing the quarterback that we drafted in the first round the year before. And Josh Rosen, we're just going to completely reverse course. We're going to take you and we're going to go into battle with you, and we're going to see 3 years. Again, don't forget, 3 years of touchdowns of 20 as a rookie, 26 in his second year, and 24 in his third year. In his second year in the league, he damn near threw for 4,000 yards. Now, the interceptions in each of those years were double digit as well. And the head scratchers was also front and center. But in the 2021 season, they made the playoffs. And you're supposed to, after 3 years of being in the league now at a quarterback spot, you either sign your guy long term or you let him play his fourth year all pissed off and have a fifth year option as your back pocket. And that's your choices. And then when it's time to actually give the kid a fifth year option or not, do you go ahead and also re-sign him as well? Because you've seen enough to say, we like you in the building. We like you in our playbook. We like you here. We've seen enough to bet on the come here. And Chris is like, use your two eyes. Take a look. You keep hitting your head on the ceiling. For the first 3 years, 4 years, we're out of time for developing. I'd rather start again with someone else than pay you top of the market value right now. And they did it with Kyler Murray in Arizona. Mm-hmm. They did it with Justin Herbert in Los Angeles, where he still hasn't won a playoff game. They did it with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. They did it with Tua in Miami. And they did it with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
Right.
I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. But they did it with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. They did it with Burrow in Cincinnati. They did it with Lamar in Baltimore. They did it with Josh Allen in Buffalo. There are some that work out, and there are others that don't. And Chris says, who is going to be the first team in the NFL to just tap out of their first round drafted quarterback or their first overall drafted quarterback and say, no more contracts for you. We're starting from scratch. And I keep telling them there won't be one. And I have an interesting list for you here because I asked NFL research, NFL Network research for some help. When Kyler Murray got cut, he's going to get cut, released. 2019 first overall pick, cut in 2026 after being re-signed to a contract in 2022. I asked NFL Network Research, who are the last, give me other first overall picks cut by the team that drafted him. How rare is that?
Okay.
The last one to be cut by the team that drafted him was Eric Fisher, the left tackle of the Chiefs, who was drafted first overall in 2013, signed an extension in 2016, but released before the last season of that extension. And you're like, all right. Give me some other names. Who are some quarterbacks? The only other first overall pick since 2000 to be released by their drafted teams. Remember Courtney Brown?
Yeah, from Penn State.
He's not a quarterback, but he got released before the end of his rookie contract. Here are the other ones. Jamarcus Russell, released before the end of his rookie contract.
Yeah.
David Carr, released before the end of his rookie contract. Cam Newton was released by Carolina after signing an extension. And then there's Michael Vick, who we all know why he got released in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You know who's also on this list of first overall drafted quarterbacks cut by the team that drafted him? Peyton Manning.
Right.
You forget about it. Orlando Pace was cut by the Rams. Bruce Smith got cut by the Bills in 2000 after being first overall in 85.
Yeah, and he put in some work.
And then there's the mother load here as well, other than Jamarcus Russell. Tim Couch got released by the Browns in 2004 before the end of his rookie contract. That's how rare this is. It's a rarity what we're seeing because teams do not cut first overall drafted quarterbacks, and certainly they don't usually cut them after giving them a monster contract just 3 years in. Three seasons in and eating a cap hit of just about $40 million. But when the cap's now $300 million, you're going to start seeing stuff like this. And I think teams are going to be more apt to sign the guys to a long-term deal and say, we'll just eat it if it doesn't work out 2-3 years in. The problem is, though, is, you know, who also eats it is the general manager who gives that contract and the coach who's coaching the quarterback.
It's a wild game, man.
It sure is. But I just wanted to bring that up since the caller just brings him, like, Brockman's like, don't give Kyler Murray a contract. Take a look.
Chris hates the, you know, when you say the next man up thing, and that really bugs him because you shouldn't just get a contract
right
just because it's your time or, you know.
Right. And so what you said, why are the Giants giving Daniel Jones a long-term deal? It's only going to be a mistake. He was right about that. Guess who's now got the transition tag in his new spot? For almost as much money as the Giants signed him for long term.
Interesting.
We'll talk about that next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Albert Breer coming up in hour number two as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Just hang out with me, TJ Sues, and Jay Felly coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich number to dial back here on the Rich Eisen Show here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app and ESPN Radio. Just had a nice chat with Richard Hamilton, who was holding a basketball while talking on camera. Does that mean all UConn champions hold a basketball when talking on camera? Since Renee Montgomery do that on women's sports now?
She holds a single.
Right. I didn't see a bedazzled basketball.
We can get Rip one if he wants.
We can get him one. If he's going to give our son $100 in free pizza to watch basketball.
Do we really want that?
No.
That's the
No, but we
real
can give
question.
Him a bedazzled basketball. Yeah. Why not?
Maybe it's a UConn thing.
It could be a UConn championship thing. You never know. So you wanted to chime in on what we were just talking about?
I know that you agree with Brockman? So maybe I'm going to lean with Brockman, but I think he has a really good point. I don't understand the pushback on this. I think if you haven't played to your potential as a quarterback, what are you re-signing for other than maybe a concern about having continuity with somebody who understands the system? But you're looking at some players who didn't play well enough to continue on, and at what point do you cut them and take a flyer on somebody new that might come in? Because we saw that to a degree with Tua, and we definitely saw that with Kyler Murray. And I think that I actually side with Brockman in this one.
Well, the issue is, again, is they brought in a new head coach from Kingsbury to Jonathan Gannon. And that's when things began to go a little sideways with Murray, don't you think? I don't know what happened there. But you got enough of a sense that something was up, and you just aren't going to see too many spots where the coach stays the same and the general manager stays the same and the quarterback doesn't when they all come in and draft the kid and Kyler Murray. And they made the playoffs, and they give him a contract because it's that time. I can't blame the Cardinals for giving him the contract. You could sit here and go, Tua had a bunch of concussions, so why would they pay him all that money? And if they're about to, in Miami, get out from under Tua, it's because they've changed the coach there. The reason why Mike McDaniel was brought in Miami is he had a plan for Tua. And there were times when that plan for Tua was a smash success. I remember that, remember that back-to-back I did in Germany with Chiefs, Dolphins, and Patriots, Colts? Mm-hmm. Two games in Frankfurt, Germany, back-to-back weeks. We had McDaniel and Tua, and that was, at the time, the personification of healthy quarterback relationship, where new coach comes in and tells kid, I gotcha. You know, the previous coach here in Miami, Brian Flores, was swapping you out for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and your head's turned around and you're like, I'm not in Alabama anymore. What the hell happened to me? Like a house landed on top of me. I'm not in Alabama anymore. I gotcha. I got your plan. And there were times when McDaniel came in and we were thinking he's going to get rid of Tua. Don't you remember that? The first thing about him, we were just kind of like, right. He's got a plan for him. And Tyreek Hill comes in and starts saying he throws the ball better than Mahomes. Yeah, and we're all like, what are you talking about? And things started to click. And the both guys in our broadcast meeting were telling stories about each other, made both, like, we were all crying. Like Stacey Dales is in tears. We're all like, wow. Tua's talking about how, you know, McDaniel sits down next to me and we go over stuff and we're going to each other's houses and whatever. And then the next week, we see Mac Jones and New England. And Mac was essentially saying, you know, I call my old Alabama teammate Tua up and he's telling me everything that he's got going on with his coach. And when he was done sort of basically telling the entire broadcast group, I need a hug. We were basically saying, this is not working out with Mac and Belichick at all. Like we wanted to hug Mac Jones before he left the room. And now Mac is on two teams later. You see, he's doing well in San Francisco. But this is all brought up to say is that when you bring in a coach who's like, I got you. And it works to a point where you see some success, not ultimate success, and then the ultimate success, you make the playoffs in a freezer bowl in Kansas City, but your quarterback's not there because his concussion problem has him knocked out. You're sitting there thinking, we have this. The coach says, I got it. General manager says, I got it. You go to the owner and say, we want to pay all this money, and the owner's probably going to sit there and Stephen Ross go, that's what I hired you to do. You believe in it, let's do it. Then it doesn't happen. General manager gets fired. Coach gets fired. So what do? You just tell Tua we're not doing it, and then you watch him go and win a Super Bowl somewhere else? Just take a look at what's happening in Minnesota right now. Whatever's going on in Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy and that quarterback room and the general manager who just got swapped out, They can all say it's not the case publicly and maybe even privately, but whatever's boiling there in Minnesota, don't you think a lid got put on that boiling pot by Sam Darnold's Super Bowl championship? Don't you think?
A lid got put on top of it?
On top of this boiling pot of whatever's going on in Minnesota, there was a lid that just got put on top of it by Sam Darnold winning a Super Bowl somewhere else. Making it even hotter for everybody.
Harder, yeah.
So my point is you can't use what's happening down the road to say you shouldn't have done it at the time, because when you're living it, you just make your bet and you believe in it. Certainly if you're the coach who's basically got the job saying, I got it, and the general manager hired the coach because he said, I got it. And then the quarterback doesn't have it. And everybody gets fired. Or Miami could have said, what? We'll just let you go. We'll go back in the draft.
Yeah.
Or we'll get Sam Darnold when he's ready to win.
That's
right. Or Malik Willis.
I mean, to go with your analogy, it's about the spices you put in the pot before you put the lid on, right? You have to have the right relationship, the right coaches, the right quarterbacks coaches. Maybe there just isn't the right seasoning there. Not that I cook, but you
know. Power cooking.
I was like, do I say what I'm thinking?
Oh, definitely not. Not if you want to live.
Do I say what I'm thinking, or do I wait for my wife to read my mind and say it?
No,
but I totally understand what you're saying. I'm just pointing out that at the time with the Arizona Cardinals, with Kyler Murray, they just made the playoffs. Cliff Kingsbury's the guy who's like, I had him in college. I've known him since he was in high school. We got this. Until he didn't.
Injuries played a little role with Murray.
New coach comes in, and that coach isn't there anymore. It's that's why the NFL stands for not for long, right?
Exactly.
Albert Breer coming up in hour two.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.